Welcome to our guest this morning. She just climbed Mount Everest, ladies and gentlemen. It is Sara Khumalo in the house. Well done.
Thank you.
That's just incredible. Look, I get it. Just doing that is incredible. But why is it got so much meaning to you personally?
I think it's got so much meaning because it's the first time in 66 years. I mean, the mountain was first climbed in 1953, that we have somebody like me, you know, from this continent, female, you know, getting up there and stepping on top of the world. And it's also because, you know, it wasn't the first time. So it wasn't a walk in a park. It was the fourth time I was in Nepal. It's the fact that I kept going back and finally was able to do it. And also, it gives hope to people anyway. It doesn't matter what they look like or where they are, what their circumstances at this time is, they can too step on top of the world in terms of their own ambition and their own dreams.
Because you get people who wake up in the morning thinking, am I going to get through this day?
Yep, exactly.
I have a tough day ahead of me.
Yeah.
Single moms still have to work for tiny bits of money.
Exactly.
How am I going to get through this day? And you want to be that beacon of hope, saying, if I can climb Mount Everest, you can get through your day.
Absolutely.
I love that.
It's not easy, but it can be done.
Tell me about your personal life.
Yeah.
What are the mountains to climb in your personal life?
Every day. N1, I stay in Joburg going to Centurion.
Listen, I apologize. I do.
Say no more.
Yeah, and look, I've got two boys, so it's the usual stuff, you know, looking after the family, getting on with work, you know, and everything else. I'm studying as well, so it's everything. It's friendships, it's family, and it's friends, and work, really.
Right, let's get back to that mountain. I don't have an idea.
Yeah.
I'm clueless of how tough it can be. Mm. I can imagine it.
Yeah.
Firstly, just the cold. That's Liesl out.
Yeah,
the studio right now is too cold for her.
No, definitely.
As well as me, I don't think I can. How tough? Can you explain to me? Is there a way of explaining to someone like me how tough it is?
I think it can be tough. Sometimes it's easy and it's fun because you are with other light-minded people and you crack jokes and stuff. Sometimes your body can't go on and your mind needs to like push you, you know, the extra mile. Noel, who was the team leader, said 70% of it is really your mindset. You know, at the beginning when you're going from Lukla to base camp, it's especially for somebody that's trained so much, it's really a walk every other day, you know. But after you start going through the Khumbu ice fall, where there's you know, pulling yourself up, there's crossing ladders and so forth, it becomes a little bit tricky. The game changes and you need to bring your A game.
Can I level with you?
Yeah.
Too many people die. It doesn't sound like it could be easy, and it's fun. How does that happen? If you stop at a certain point, am I right in saying that's how tough it is?
It is tough, but there are levels to it. So when you get above Camp 4, which is above 8,000, let's say, that's the death zone. So there's less oxygen.
Oh, it has a name. Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right. Death zone. So you
maybe
get to death zone.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
No. I really want to do this. So the oxygen becomes a problem. The cold, the temperature?
The temperatures are hectic. The winds are terrible.
What are we talking here?
I think as cold as probably minus 45.
What?
But you also... technology has moved on, so you are dressed appropriately. You have a down suit, and when you're in your sleeping bag, my sleeping bag above base camp is minus 40, and you have an inner that's minus 8, so that's minus 48. But you can still feel the cold. You always get a hot water bottle that you put into the sleeping bag.
Mm-hmm. Is it ever summer there? Sorry. Is it ever summer, like, at the top of the mountain? Like, is there a better time to go when it's like, okay, it's minus 42 yeah. this year?
Should we go warmer? In September or like, yeah.
Yeah. When it's warm, but minus 20.
You know what? What is interesting, when you walk, despite the coldness, you actually sweat in the process. And the sun is scorching hot. And the sun reflects on the ice and hits back you back in the face. So, it's interesting.
Sure. Coming up, I have so many more questions about not only Sarah herself, but Mount Everest and this incredible feat that, to get right to the top. And she didn't give up after the first time, or second time, and third time, but made it right there. Any questions, any comments for Sarah Kamala this morning? You're very welcome. 084-850-0942. What is the story with the queue? I believe do you make it all the way to the top and then you're in a queue to go right to the top? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. The queue happened in the later weather window.
Uh-huh.
Because there obviously were too many people aiming for the same weather window. So if everybody goes on the same day to try and climb, there's a point closer to the summit where only one person can really pass. So despite how fast you are, you have to wait for everybody else to go. But we summited earlier on, I think about two days after the ropes were put in. We had a lot of space. We didn't have to wait in any queue. I mean, the summit was pretty much empty. We had a few people there.
So, and what an anticlimax. Imagine you make it all the way there. It's like the N1, and then there's like you see this traffic slowing down, and you have to stand there and wait, which is dangerous, right?
It is dangerous because you're not supposed to stop moving. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the danger of the risk of depleting your oxygen because you only have one bottle with you at the time. And that's why some people actually turn back. And
are you serious?
Yeah.
How far are they then from the top?
Some even about 400 meters from the top, vertically.
Sure.
Up, so.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
400 meters, and you decide you have to turn back because your oxygen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's better doing that because the mountain will always be there. At least you can try again.
Talking about people giving up and turning around and not making it, there was one person in your party. I mean, how many people climb at a time? Four?
We were four in a team.
Okay.
Our team leader, Noah Hanna, and three climbers, myself, Jenny, and Seamus, who were Irish.
And it's Seamus, the Irish guy went missing?
Yes, he went missing after we had summited on our way down.
So he made it to the top?
Absolutely, yes. We all made it to the top, yeah.
Sorry to ask now, but how did you go missing? What happened?
I didn't see it, but when we got to the balcony, we all started going down, and he was faster than the two of us.
So he went ahead of you?
So he went ahead with the head shaper, and I believe that just closer to the camp, he wanted to relieve himself, and he got off the rope, and that's where it happened.
So how do you lose sight? Is the visibility bad as well?
Sometimes it is. Actually, on that day, every now and again it was, especially when the wind blows, because it blows the snow and you don't see properly. But we also had problems with our eyes because of the wind and the snow hitting the eyes.
And then what happens then? If someone goes missing and you can't see that person anymore, do search parties go out, helicopters? What?
So at the time, the Sherpas and other climbers tried to try and find him. So usually we all have headlamps, you know.
Okay.
So you try and almost put it on flash. So we're all looking for flashes in the evening and stuff like that. But it's too high up for helicopters to go. So when... After we went down to base camp, they went back to look for him. The helicopter could only take them up to camp 2. Thereafter, everybody that was in the search party had to walk up.
Pardon my ignorance, but then what happens to people that because so many people don't make it to the top and some people go missing on the way down.
Yeah.
What happens to their bodies? I mean, what?
So there are bodies that are actually... recovered from the mountain and taken down either to their families or they're cremated or stuff like that. There is a lot of stories about bodies that are up there and you see them, we didn't really see any because they try and clean up.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so that's a myth.
It used to be like that. And ideally the reason
you would climb and then you would see
especially on the north I believe but they have cleared a lot of that a lot of that up.
You knew Seamus, obviously. I mean, it's just the four of you in the climbing party.
What
was the last thing that he said to you?
Oh no, we celebrated on the mountain. He took most of the summit pictures. He was a very nice guy. He called his family every night. So his wife was pregnant, is pregnant, and he had a small little child. So he talked about them all the time. Very knowledgeable. I mean, over time, as I climb, you find that the world is so ignorant about Africa. But flip, he knew a lot. So
did he?
Absolutely. Like he knew about the South African struggle, you know, a lot of African history. So he was a very fun guy. I mean, I've got lots of pictures with him jumping around. He was going to be the youngest Irish to summit Everest.
No.
He was 39, yeah. So, you know, I think it's sad that we lost him, but I know that he was doing what he loved doing. So.
Well, thanks for sharing those memories.
Yeah.
I think we should send a podcast to his family in Ireland. How did you feel about the welcome at the airport? Did it surprise you?
It did surprise me. It was a little bit overwhelming, but it was nice to be able to be recognized for a small achievement, and also to be able to motivate people because it was good feedback. It was also nice to see my family there and people that have supported me even through the time when it didn't work, you know.
Yeah.
So that was a bit emotional, yeah.
Question for you.
Good morning. Firstly, I just want to congratulate her on her accomplishment with climbing Mount Everest. My question for her would be, what has it changed inside of you? How do you look at things differently now?
I think, I don't know if anything has changed. I think the belief that nothing is impossible is a lot stronger than it was before, and the trust that tomorrow is a better day, I'm a lot more confident in that because of what has happened, and also the belief that even I, no matter how insignificant I am, I can make a difference, you know, a small difference. I'm able to leave the world a better place than I found it in a small way. So I'm a lot more convinced in that.
What are you studying?
I'm currently doing my MBA.
Nice. What's next apart from getting your MBA? How do you top that? What's next, Sarah?
So I still need to finish the seven summits, and obviously the North and the South Pole, so it's called the Grand Slam. Everest was the fourth of the seven, and also the poles. So I'm hoping that I can do that as soon as I am able to. Yeah,
that is incredible. Yeah. Now, while you're studying, how do you get time to study for an MBA and climb Mount Everest? I mean, most of the students come up with some paltry excuses to miss lectures. Did they like, you know, where's Sarah today? She's climbing Mount Everest. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But it's on your Facebook. They could see, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was telling you a story that one of my classmates, because I'm doing it through long distance, and I think he's in Europe somewhere. He must have seen the news and sent a message. Says, oh, so this is what you've been doing.
This is where Sarah's been. Where is she?
Yeah. Look, where there's a way, where there's a will, there's a way. You make a plan. We have 24 hours in a day, so you just plan it better, you know, and you find time for stuff.
Are there any plans to go like deep sea diving so you can go like, you know, as deep as you can and also just be as high as you can as well? I mean, because obviously, you know, it's not enough for you to just climb the summit once.
Yeah. Once you've gone up, are you going to go down?
Well, I swim like a rock, so which is a bit of a problem, but
it helps.
Well, then you will reach.
Do you know who else is feeling like they have to climb the seven mountains runabout now is old Fuff. I mean, our Protea cricket team, I don't know if you followed yesterday, not a dream start at the Cricket World Cup.
Yeah.
I want you, Sarah Kamalo, to send Fuff, the captain of the Proteas, a personal message this morning that I want to send on to him. Because right now, I think that the top of the mountain seems pretty far. because it wasn't a great performance yesterday. Yeah. What would you say to the Proteas ahead of their next World Cup game?
I think it's always darkest before dawn, in my view. And I think the country is behind them, despite where they are, because we believe in them. If we can just go and keep stepping, the summit is close by. I think keep pushing, and if at first you don't succeed, you try and try again. And
you try and try again.
Absolutely, and we're wishing them the best in the next game. Yeah.
Well, there you go. We'll send that on to him. Try and try again, because that's what you've done. Now, I want you to try and explain to most of us listening right now who will never have that feeling.
Yeah.
How many days does it take to get to the top again?
So for the summit push, it's about five days.
In total, since you start.
Yeah. So you take one day to get to camp two. You spend a night just to rest. And then after that, camp three, camp four, and in the evening you go up. So,
do you have butterflies in your stomach? What does it feel like that night before, like you're going to make it to the top?
I was, every time we started, I was like, oh, what did I leave? You know, do I have everything? So I was always the last to come out of the tent. I don't think everybody else was amused with me. But surprisingly, I was very calm this time. You know, I think it's realizing that there's nothing that I can change. I had done the best that I can, and it was just time to deliver.
Now you're standing on top of Mount Everest. There's nothing that you can see above you.
No.
Because you're the highest.
Absolutely nothing, yeah.
Standing at the top, it's been quite a walk, it's been quite a climb. What does it feel like, Sara Kamara?
Amazing, like nothing is impossible. You see a sea of mountains. It's blue, and the sun is beautiful coming up on the other side. And it's a feeling that, you know, nobody ever takes away from you, even if it's for a fleeting moment that you're up there. But it's also, for me, it was emotional. It's like, finally. And knowing that everybody else that's on earth is below you somewhere, whether walking around or sleeping.
Wow.
It's just amazing. And you actually see the untamed earth. What God has put out there, whatever it is that you believe in, it's just puts a lot into perspective. But you quickly remind yourself that it's only halfway. You still need to go back down.
Oh, wow. Was there a song playing in your head?
Absolutely. I love Mary Mary. That plays in my head a lot of the times when I'm waking up.
The song?
Yeah, I can't give up.
Can't give up, ladies and gentlemen. The one and only Sara Kamara, thanks for sharing your story with us on the show this morning. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And inspiring South Africans and people on our continent in general, and probably the world. It was a pleasure having you on the show. I hope you get your MBA soon and you make those other mountains. We're watching you, and thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you. Really do appreciate it.
Sara Kamara on the show this morning, everybody. Good morning, South Africa.
Start your day with Martin Bester.
Yellow show is awesome, man.
Great show. I love it.
What a lekker manier om die dag te begin.
Breakfast with Martin Bester. Giving you a fun way to wake up. Weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. Jacaranda FM.